I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Super Bowl, we're continuing our conversation about it. It's coming up on Sunday. It's in Minnesota, where, of course, it's cold, just like it is right here. And, of course, it'll be the New England Patriots looking for another Super Bowl victory. Can they do that? We're going to go to Boston here in a second, but let's do a contest real quick.
Caller number 4 at 216-578-0090 will win lunch for 4 from Guthrie's Chicken Fingers. That's 4 Guthrie's boxes, including 5 chicken fingers, dipping sauce, fries, fresh slaw, Texas toast, and a large drink. Make Guthrie's Golden Fried Chicken Fingers part of your game plan this Sunday. It's the Fan Lunchbox, and it's all from Guthrie's Chicken Fingers and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan, and they are good.
All right, let's get back into the game here a little bit. Eagles, Patriots, let's go to Boston now, or let's go to Minnesota, and we check in on what's going on with the Patriots, and we bring in Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe. Hi, Tara, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
We're good.
I heard that sigh in your voice when you mentioned New England, so I guess you have a little Patriot fatigue.
I think we all do, but you know what I don't have? I don't have Brian Hoyer fatigue because he's from here. So if Brian gets in the game, we'll be excited about that.
But I love the moment when he was on the practice field and had the black tape in solidarity with Brady. I thought that was – I don't know if you saw that picture, but I thought that was very funny.
Tell me why I should root for the Patriots. And Tara, here's – we just talked about it, and I praised Bill Belichick. I covered Bill when he was here in Cleveland. I praised all of the guys that he picked up off the scrap heap who he's turned into studs. Tom Brady might be the best quarterback of all time. I'm not crazy about him. I respect him like crazy. Tell me why I should root for them, because they drive me nuts.
Well, I'm sort of out of the business of rooting myself, but I know what you're saying. Like, what about them, you know, is appealing.
Right.
And I think as, you know, a general sports fan, if you want to just realize what it is you're witnessing, you know, being part of this incredible run that now doesn't just span sort of one set of, you know, 3 out of 4 Super Bowls, but spans potentially another. And I think just being witness to something that is just so dominant and so good and set up so well, I do feel like if you can step back for a moment just to realize how rare it is what it is this franchise is accomplishing.
I'll give you that. That's absolutely true. And I give them all the credit in the world for it. But I must admit, they just drive me absolutely nuts.
Well, I understand everybody's frustration. Listen, for the purpose of history, you know, I only started at the Globe in December. I come out of the New York, New Jersey market. And, you know, there's a great rivalry there between the two cities. Yeah, it's hard to watch the same team win over and over again. But to me, it's just, you know, it's also hard to – you know, to kind of just lose sight of the credit they deserve. I think part of the anger, personally, or frustration, you know, deserves to be directed at the rest of the AFC East, too, because I just feel like those three franchises have done nothing, you know, to put up any kind of real fight over all these years to give the Patriots a legitimate hurdle on the way to the Super Bowl.
And God knows the Browns haven't done anything to try to help stop the Patriots from going to the Super Bowl.
I did have a nice chat with Jason McCourty, you know, because I was working on a piece about Devin, and I was trying to be kind, you know, and in good points of his season, and, you know, it's really hard to find something, you know, to find something positive in it in this season. But he's here rooting for his brother.
Well, he should be, and he's a great asset to be here. And you know, what's interesting is we look at the Jamie Collins deal, and we talk about Jason Garoppolo too. That, you know, it was like the Patriots got mad at Jamie Collins, so they sent him to Siberia, but yet the Browns wanted Garoppolo, and I don't think the Browns ever had a shot to get him before he went to San Francisco. I mean, do you agree with that? The Browns never had a shot, especially with Hoyer coming back.
I wasn't here when it happened, but it sure seems, you know, I think there are so many unanswered questions about that trade in terms of why then, and why did the Patriots only get what they got. When you see what, you know, what Alex Smith was just worth, you know, it is crazy to me that they didn't get more for Garoppolo. And there is, I think it's fair to speculate that Belichick kind of engineered that, sending him somewhere that would be much better for him, far afield of the division, you know, and somewhere where he could succeed. There's got to be some frustration on the part of the Browns, you know, for feeling like, why didn't we have a shot at this guy? We would have loved him.
Yeah, but you also have to admit, I mean, and I joke about Hoyer, but, I mean, for Bill to bring Hoyer back, I mean, they've mutually respected each other, at least I know the family has, the entire time he wasn't in New England. For him to go back, for him to pick up the system instantly wouldn't be a problem at all.
No, and that was a part of it as well. You're right. Like, that was something that that made it a little bit easier, I think, for Belichick, knowing that that would be the end result, you know, that he could get Hoyer back. And from the moment he walked back into that locker room, you're right, completely seamless. He and Brady seem to have a great rapport. There's a lot of mutual respect. Hoyer is well-respected in the room and, like you said, knows enough of the system, was able to pick things up right away, too. So he's enjoying a joyride, for sure, being back here this season.
Tara Sullivan joining us from the Boston Globe. Tara, you were in New York. You covered the Giants for a long time, and you covered Eli Manning. Now you have Tom Brady. Have you been there long enough to pick up some things about Tom that might separate him from another great quarterback like Eli, and maybe see how Tom has done things that has led to his success?
That's an interesting question, and it's one I really want to ponder for a while. I mean, Eli impressed me so much over the years for his personality as much as his skills, right? Like, in that market, completely unflappable, and I think people saw that to the nth degree this year with the botched benching and all of that. Like, he really rose above, and he is, without question, the most accessible superstar I have ever been around, that I've ever interviewed. And that's a big difference from Brady. Like, Brady lives in it, from what I can gather, you know, a much more controlled environment. He's obviously, I think, a lot more famous, if you will, between his marriage and his wife and that, and all the other things he does. Like, Eli is a much more unassuming personality. But, you know, what Brady has had, quite honestly, the difference is what he's had is Belichick, you know, a system here that has propped up continual success and overhaul of a roster and continuing change. That's where the Giants lost their way. The drafting kind of wasn't great. They weren't filling in holes. They let the offensive line go to pot, and that affected Eli in the long run. You know, it's hard not to just marvel at Brady and just the work he puts in to stay at the level he's at. I mean, it's crazy that he's 40 years old and still doing this.
Hey, Tara, I'm just curious because, I mean, you were there for this, but, you know, the tension that we see, at least on SportsCenter, and that we hear that maybe things aren't perfect in Boston with Bill and Kraft and Tom. Mm-hmm. Is that real or what, and how does that play going into this weekend?
Yeah, it's one of the big questions for sure, right? Because that is sort of the setting going into this Super Bowl, and a lot of that stuff was exposed. And I'm sure there is large degrees of truth to a lot of it. My sense of coming into this equation a little bit later is, I think if you're looking for that, I don't discredit the reporting at all, because I think the reporters on that story were really good. Mm-hmm. But I do think if you go looking for that sort of discord or butting heads or things like that in any industry that's been as successful as this one, with three really strong personalities, smart, ego-driven guys, I think you could find that kind of stuff anywhere. You know, the little slights and the small annoyances and, you know, I mean, I think ultimately, to their credit, even if that stuff is there, it certainly hasn't to this point affected the product on the field. I mean, they're here again. And I think in the long run, the ego that drives the desire to win is going to outweigh the egos, you know, of their personal accomplishments or credit or things like that. So I to answer your question, I think it's legit. I just don't think it's as, you know, integral in affecting their actual football lives. As I don't think we can draw that line maybe as easily as some people might.
Tara Sullivan joining us from the Boston Globe. Tara, if Matt Patricia goes to the Lions as expected and Josh McDaniels goes to the Colts, could it be a situation, and having followed Bill forever, I think it might be, where he's suddenly rejuvenated, takes it on as a whole new challenge and another opportunity to reinvent a great Patriots team with two new coordinators?
Wouldn't that be a great storyline? And I think you probably pegged on something that a lot of people haven't brought up. There's such an easy jump to, you know, well, maybe that's Belichick's cue to say, I'm out of here, where I think you've probably pegged into the part of his personality that is more prevalent, which is, you know, I'll prove it no matter who's here, right? Like, that's the challenge.
Right.
So I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. He's proven in the past that he's, you know, players or coaches, I should say, develop on his watch in the sense of being part of the system and the pipeline. And I think he has guys in position, it seems to me, all the time who seem to be ready to move up. Or maybe he'll go outside this time, who knows. But I think that's a really interesting point. He absolutely could be rejuvenated in that way to say, you know, my system is good. I know what I'm doing. Let's take it on a new and, you know, and we'll prove it with somebody new.
Sounds like a new column for you. You can enjoy it after the Super Bowl.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right after the Hoyer to Britt win Super Bowl.
I'm not sure Britt will be active, so we'll see about that one.
Oh, please. You don't understand.
We need Kenny Britt to be active.
If Kenny Britt gets in the game or scores, it'll be our worst nightmare here in Cleveland. Let me just tell you that.
With Deion Lewis throwing the key block.
You think we were bummed that Bill didn't get to stay when the team moved with the Ravens and didn't end up staying here the whole thing? No, no, no. If Kenny Britt gets in the end zone, I'm telling
that's
you.
That's the worst. The new low.
That would be the worst case scenario. It's been an interesting week to watch the Super Bowl from the outside, just all the storylines. Do you feel like you've been at Mall of America all week or no?
I do and I don't. It's very interesting because we're in like our one little corner. I guess it's some unused retail space and they've built us our little media center. But listen, there is no doubt we are in a mall. There are people everywhere. Radio Row is in the middle of the food court, literally, you know, under the shadow of Shake Shack and around the corner from from Chick-fil-A. I mean, it's a very different setting than Super Bowls I've been to in the past. And when my iPhone charger decided to fritz out, I was able to, you know, just take up the escalator and run to the store and buy a new one. It's really convenient. So, yes, I mean, you do for sure realize you're in a mall and that it's a pretty different setting than in the past.
All right, last question. How do you think this game is going to play out?
The old prediction. I mean, I just think the Patriots will pull it out. I don't think there'll be a blowout either way. That hasn't been the way for the Patriots Super Bowls. And I do think the Eagles, with the pressure they get from the front four, certainly, could find that formula that the Giants did use in the two Super Bowls. They beat the Patriots. If they get that going, maybe this gets interesting. But the Patriots lately in the fourth quarter, I mean, they win you, you know, they beat you in the mental game and the physical game. So, my sense is they'll pull this one out in the fourth quarter.
Tara, thank you. We appreciate your time. Please stay away from Crayola Universe and Nickelodeon Universe, too.
Will do.
As I'm reading your stories. Thank you. We really appreciate
your
time.
Thank you, Tara.
Have a great time on Sunday. All right. Okay. So that was Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe is there. She's got a really funny story about, you know, covering the Super Bowl from the Mall of America. It's worth reading. It's at thebostonglobe.com. So we've had perspectives from both sides. We'll get your perspective. In fact, Jeff, we've been nice enough that we normally only do this during Browns games, but we are going to do quick predicts. We'll see if it fails or if it's fantastic, and that'll be at 1:40 like we would normally during a Browns week. So,
okay.
All right, so we'll do that. Also, are we going to play Jeopardy here?
So to speak.
You want to play Jeopardy when we come back?
I think we should.
All right, stick around. We're going to play Jeopardy even with all of you too next on Baskin and Phil.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.